This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As with misinformation and over-speculation, but a lot of times when it comes to social media and the attention that the players get, a lot of it's because of what they do. It's not us snooping around. It's right in front of us with their Twitter accounts, their Instagram comments. It's a very interesting dynamic when you're looking at the league.
Robin in San Francisco is up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hi, Robin.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Because the guy told me something that sounded far away. So I'm doing a sound check. Can you hear me?
You sound great right now, Robin.
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, good morning, J.D., and good morning, Mr. Medina. I want to take a little twist here. I think JD's a little familiar with me. First, I wanted to say that I'm really drained. I've been watching Boston's ABA, and I can't remember a time when I have not been drained watching basketball. I just want to say that because it's going to lead into my point here. At this point, I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer because I love KD. I don't care where KD goes. If he goes to New York, he's not going to win. I don't know what he's chasing. If he's chasing trying to turn that around, good luck. So a lot of things don't make sense to me. All of a sudden, Kawhi, who you can't pry two words out of, everybody knows everything about Kawhi. I'm just so sick of the whole thing. So this leads to this question here. I think that the NBA, if you can speak upon this, I don't know if I can say the word hell, but it's going to hell. I'm all for player having a say-so over, a little bit more movement in their career decisions, because in the past, GMs, you were traded, you had to finish your contract out. But this colluding, these teams getting together, I mean, why do we have 200 free agents and one NBA upcoming season? And I just think that the NBA has really gone in the wrong direction with this free agency, and I just want to know what you guys think.
Thanks, Robin. Mark, I'll let you touch that first.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't with the NBA, because I know that the ratings have been down, but when you're looking at what drives the league, number one, it's always going to be the games. But number two, it's the free agency speculation. As much as people want to say, whether it's fans or players, saying, hey, like, why do you guys get wrapped up in free agency? My response with that is two things. One, other teams are doing things behind the scenes to prepare themselves for free agency. That's number one. Number two, after the last CBA, where you have shorter contracts to get front offices out of bad decisions and to increase player mobility, that's what's the reality is going to be, that you're going to have all this immediate planning even after players sign. And number three, people pay attention to it. Like, I look at the numbers from our sites.
Sure.
People care about free agency. So as much as people want to be like, oh, why are you getting all wrapped in it? The numbers don't lie. You can write all you want about games or pick and roll coverages. People want to know about what's ahead. And what's ahead often is which team has the best chance to land this player. What's this player thinking? And frankly, when you talk to players, like, it all depends player to player based on your, working relationship with them. But there's a lot of times, me personally, my time with the Lakers, a little bit with the Warriors, that players themselves, they're interested in that topic just like we are, of looking at, hey, like, do you think this guy's going here? What do you think this team's doing? What are you hearing from the front office, from our own particular team? So I know that there is definitely an overwhelming amount of that, where it's almost like even when training camp starts, that's the narrative. But if people weren't interested in it, people wouldn't be writing about it.
In many ways, free agency and the relationships between players, I'll factor that in as well. Both players that may want to play together via free agency or want to leave a certain player that they've been playing with via free agency. I think all of that, in many ways, especially to the common fan, is more interesting than an 82-game season.
Oh, without a doubt. And I mean, I still would say, though, when you look at the numbers, the games, the live programming, that's the thing that drives still the NBA. So, I mean, I think that's still a good thing. But there's no question that when you're looking at social media and what people are clicking on websites, a lot of it's free agency. And it doesn't help, or depending on how you look at it, social media helps contribute to that. But at the same time, I don't want to be that guy that says, hey, in an earlier era, this wouldn't have happened. It's apples and oranges. The reality is, because of how the CBA is constructed, it allows more player movement. So maybe some of those old timers would say, hey, well, I wouldn't be colluding with these other players. They didn't really have the flexibility to do that, number one. And number two, there wasn't as much balance in the NBA. It was the Lakers, Celtics, and maybe a handful of other teams. I mean, the Detroit Pistons at times, the Houston Rockets in the 80s, the Bulls in the 90s. Right now, there's a lot more parity and balance in the NBA, and that's for the better because of these shorter contracts. So it's just an interesting turn of events on how the league has evolved.
Great text here from the 209 from a Warriors fan. Free agency used to be us Warriors fans' favorite time of year, even though nobody wanted to come here. LOL.
And that was the time when the Warriors would overspend on a guy, and that would wound up being an awful contract.
Corey McGetty.
They wanted to make a splash.
Warriors fans remember and love Corey McGetty.
Without a doubt, without a doubt.
But this is the one time a year where I think every team, as long as you've got cap space, believes that they have the ability to change the course of their franchise.
Yeah, and now it really depends on what else they have to sell. I mean, the Lakers are always going to be in the conversation but because of that equity. But, you know, I was covering them during their worst stretch in franchise history, and a lot of it for the worse. They were trying to have cap space. They were hoping their legacy would sell itself. But I think, to the players' credit, that stuff doesn't sell with them anymore. Just because they live in L.A. doesn't mean anything, because a lot of these guys live in L.A. anyway during the summer. And so I think it really comes down to, as much as it's about having cap space or trying to chase superstars or having these nice free agency meetings, it really comes down to, what is the front office's direction? What is the culture? And who is on the roster? I think for as much flack as this generation of players get, I think they're very savvy on knowing kind of the intricacies of what teams and what their moves are and what direction they're heading in.
925 with a tip in, Jason Caffey, Clarence Witherspoon. Couple of other big-time targets
of
the Warriors.
A lot of good legacies there.
Back in the day. 888-957-9570. We'll get to the latest with Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. A report out there just this morning that those two may be looking to pair up. How does that ultimately impact the decision for both? And more of your phone calls. Mark Spears coming up at the back end of this hour. It's Warriors This Week, special free agency edition with JD and Medina, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, roll along here until 1 o'clock. John Dickinson and Mark Medina, Mark of the Bay Area News Group, who covers the Golden State Warriors. And free agency now under 29 hours away. The reports continue to trickle in, including this one from Chris Haynes. Chris Haynes reporting that the Minnesota Timberwolves are scheduled to meet with Brooklyn Nets restricted free agent guard D'Angelo Russell. So the Nets have, you know, they're in a lot of fires trying to get Durant, trying to get Kyrie, looking at other players, and they have D'Angelo Russell, a restricted free agent who's free to go look and try and get an offer, and the Timberwolves are set to be meeting with him.
Yeah, and I think that would be an interesting partnership, because Karl-Anthony Towns, those guys are really good players. And, you know, my time covering the Lakers, I remember picking D'Angelo's brain and Karl's brain, and it sounded like those two guys were best friends, number one, and two, they're very self-accountable toward each other. I think to a larger extent, D'Angelo opened his career fielding a lot of criticism, I think rightfully so, about his maturity and his work habits. And Carl was a guy that helped him kind of sharpen that professional mindset, as well as help him get through some of his early frustrating years with the Lakers, where he wasn't getting the kind of opportunities he wanted and didn't really take well to Byron Scott's tough coaching. But I think Carl also has his own set of criticism to answer about, you know, just his, you know, level of engagement. But I think because of that partnership, they could almost bring the best out of each other, not to mention the fact that they're two pretty good talented players.
And what do you think of the dynamic in play here with Brooklyn, where they'd rather seemingly get Kyrie and Durant and let D'Angelo Russell go but yet view him as a great backup plan? I mean, is that how do you think that all shakes out?
I think you have to do that, and the Nets are able to do that because he's a restricted free agent. So even if D'Angelo might take offense to him not being option A, he might really not have any other choice. And I think
he wouldn't, but does it create a weird room?
It could, but I think I don't know D'Angelo and how he was with Brooklyn, but from my understanding, his maturity was a lot better than it was in the Lakers. So I would think that this would be a good test to see how he handles that. But if you're the Nets, you have to prioritize Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. And look, we were saying earlier on our show our reservations about Kyrie's leadership, but as far as his talent, it speaks for itself, and it's above and beyond better than D'Angelo's, even if he did have a breakout year with the Nets, you know, really developing under well with Kenny Atkinson.
Scott in Marin is up next on the phone lines. Phone lines open at 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. That's the phone number to join in with JD and Medina. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, hey, Mark. I've been baffled by this since the beginning, even at the end of last year. And this, why is this such a tough decision for KD? When you pointed out, I mean, if you look at culture, if you look at organization and his teammates and money, it really seems to be a no-brainer to stay in San Francisco now. But I was just wondering, was this just like something he and Kleiman did just to keep his name in constant in the media for another calendar year? Because I mean, obviously nobody's questioned where Clay was going to go. So I just don't understand where the motivation is to leave this open for a whole year when obviously the best place to be is here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out as what the whole, why is it a doubt to where he should have been playing? I mean, it seems to be a no-brainer monetarily and professionally to stay right where he is.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to what degree Kevin and Rich Kleiman are saying things off the record. I mean, if it's to other reporters, you don't know. If it's to me, like, we can't really share that.
Sure.
But I think as soon as Kevin signed his deal last year, he really didn't even have to say anything to show what his intentions are. The fact that it wasn't a multi-year deal and he had an out after this year showed that he wanted flexibility. And when you're looking at just what is the sources of motivation, what I found fascinating is when I talked to Kevin before they played the Knicks at the beginning of the season, I talked to him specifically about his time with the Warriors. He had nothing but positive things to say. And granted, this is before the Draymond incident. This is before some of his frustrations with all the attention on his free agency. But the sense I got with that was that if he's going to leave the Warriors, it really has nothing to do with them per se. I think if he were to leave, it really has.
That's hard for fans to take, though, Mark.
Yeah, and it is, because you're trying to apply logic. Like, look, if he wants to make the most money and win, it's a no-brainer. But I think what Kevin might be looking at here, and you don't know if this is going to be the variable, but at least is enough for him to consider other options, is did he view the Warriors as LeBron James did with the Miami Heat, where it was almost like this extended year of college, and he got what he wanted to get out of it, and now he's done with it, number one. And number two, because he has had so much success already, instead of wanting to just prolong that run, does he feel like he wants a new challenge? And then I think specifically with Kevin, you know, he is that rare NBA superstar where the criticism hasn't quieted down as soon as he's won championships. It's only perpetuated the criticism because it stemmed from him joining the Warriors in the first place. And all that stuff is misguided. I think, frankly, it shouldn't really matter. But as we've known with Kevin, it bothers him. And you wonder to what degree does he want to shape his narrative and his legacy by addressing some of those things. And I think that's what has made, you know, what is ultimately going to be his decision starting Sunday so complicated.
Look, money is a factor in this thing. Winning certainly is a factor. I think culture is a factor. Teammates are a factor, his relationship with them. And then I think you're right, the narrative regarding his legacy and did he take the easy way out in coming to the Warriors? Although now you look back at the last 3 years and the Warriors clearly needed him to win the two championships that they did win. And had he been healthy for the duration of this season in the playoffs, I personally think the Warriors would have found a way to beat Toronto if he had been healthy throughout. Now, maybe, maybe not. We'll never totally know the answer to that question. But if you look even at just the way he played in Game 5 before the injury, you know, that series was maybe starting to turn back, you know, in the Warriors' favor a little bit, even though they were trailing. All of those things, though, go in the hopper. And I also think that the bigger picture thing, he's searching, I think, for happiness and contentment. And, yeah. And only he really knows what the best way to achieve that is. And he may not. You know, we all think that certain things in life are going to make us happy. We do X, we're going to be happier. We do Y, we're going to be happier. You know, things that pertain to money, lifestyle, who you interact with. But the reality is you don't totally know until you actually do it.
Yeah. And the thing is, he's been on record saying to Rachel Nichols that when he won his first championship, he thought, as happy as he was with winning that title, getting the finals MVP, he thought that there was going to be a more sense of fulfillment, but he still felt like there was things left more to be unsaid. And I can't help but think about this, JD, when I've asked him about, you know, what is his source of motivation? What's his driving force? It wasn't in the context of free agency, but it was just more to get to know what makes him tick as a player and as a man. And he was talking about wanting to be the best version of himself as a player. And don't get it twisted. That doesn't mean that he wants to be the guy and he's getting all the shots. When you're looking at Kevin's game, he wants to be known as an efficient player and a good playmaker as well. But I think that he seems to be more motivated of being the best player that he could ever possibly be than winning as many championships as he can.
That's well said. Yeah, and that's... Yeah, that's straight from him.
Yeah.
So that's important.
And that's not to say he wants to get records and score as many points. I think it's more of he's thinking about his legacy and where he stands among the all-time great players. And him being the best version of that always maximizes what he means in that conversation.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson, Mark Medina with you until 1 o'clock here. On 95.7, the game is free agency. A little under 29 hours now to go. Where will Kevin Durant land in free agency? It looks like he's going to take a few days. Don't expect Kevin Durant to have a decision by 3:30, let's say tomorrow afternoon, although it has been reported that Klay Thompson should have a decision, and that decision is remaining with the Warriors by 3:05.
Yeah, and what I found very interesting with Klay, just from the beginning, tracing back to the beginning of the season, is people made it clear that Kevin's decision did not have and would not have any influence on Klay's decision. It really came down to what the terms of his contract was. And I think that's a good thing for the Warriors, because there could have very well been the possibility, and understandably so, that because Klay wants to win, maybe he wanted to see, okay, where's KD going to go, because he's such a game changer and it influences where the state of the franchise is going to be. But I think in Klay's mind, he has such affection for the Warriors, and he feels that, like, even if Klay or Kevin is gone and he knows that it's a much different team, they still have Steph Curry, they still have Draymond Green, they still have Andre Iguodala, they still have Steve Kerr as the head coach, they still have Bob Myers and Joe Lacob leading, you know, the front office and ownership, that they're still in a good place to be competitive.
Chilton Autobody text line 415. We'll hold on to this for a second and come back to it, because I think a lot of Warriors fans are interested in this. Can you please break down how a sign and trade would work with Kevin Durant, especially the trade exception, which would be larger than any trade exception that's ever been accumulated? We'll get to that in a couple of minutes here. And then the other question that we've had a couple of times on the text line, and maybe we'll save this one for Tim Bontemps because it got him and our guy Steiny going a little bit last week. What does next year look like if the Warriors tanked? We'll save that one as well.
You know, I got to align with Tim. You'll hear later on.
we'll get into that coming up. More phone calls as well. And again, there's another report. I use that term loosely. There's another report that falls under the category of everyone's trying to read the tea leaves. Pertaining to Durant. So we'll get to that coming up in just a moment. David, though, and Hayward is up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, David?
How's it going?
Yeah, so, you know, I think, like, I get that's how it's super interesting to try to kind of prognosticate around where KD might go in free agency. And, like, obviously, you know, there's a lot of different factors that are probably going to influence his decision. And, you know, he should do whatever he feels like is right for him. But I think, you know, there's an element of just, like, who Durant is and his psychology that I think people don't seem to talk as much about or take into consideration. And you actually just mentioned it a minute ago for a second where you're talking about, like, the challenge of being somewhere else. And just from, like, what I've seen from KD in interviews and everything, I mean, he seems like, even though he's, like, one of the most amazing basketball players ever and can do pretty much everything already, he always seems to have this, like, level of perfectionism around just trying to elevate his game even further and how can he get even better. And you know, he's like never satisfied no matter how good he actually is, right? So for me, I think, like, just seeing that the way that he approaches the game, like, I would think that, you know, one of the factors that's going to play in for him is, like, if a situation with another team would, like, present him with, like, you know, a challenge that would, like, potentially even help him become an even better player than he already is, right? And to me, I think that's something that would be a driving force for him that I really don't hear people talking about quite as much. So, yeah.
Thanks, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think, David, you really hit a good point on what makes Kevin tick. I mean, just seeing his practice habits, he's so methodical with his footwork and his post-practice shooting routine with Bruce Frazier. When I've talked to people on the Warriors coaching staff, whether it's Steve Kerr or Mike Brown or Rod Adams, they describe Kevin Durant as that perfect practice player because he is such a perfectionist. He wants to be an efficient shooter but a high-volume scorer. He wants to be seen as a good facilitator as well and a good teammate. He wants to be seen as coachable. And so those are all good qualities to have. But I think you also hit a really good point of where this matters in free agency. And so I think there's a fine line for Kevin of – okay, he wants to take on a challenge, but he also wants to be with a functional organization. So it's not like he's going to want to sign up for a team that doesn't have its stuff together, has a front office that doesn't know what he's doing. I think it also matters who's the coach. And when you're looking at some of these other options, right, they all have good coaches. The Clippers have Doc Rivers. He's obviously won a title with the Celtics. He's well-respected among veteran players. You know, David Fizdale, he already has a relationship with Kevin Durant, David Fizdale with the Knicks. He's known as a guy that's kind of the master in the details. And then Kenny Atkinson, he hasn't handled a lot of Hall of Fame talent, but when you're looking at the Nets culture, he is this guy that is very well respected because of how well he is with player development. And so I think the fact that he's looking at these specific teams, not to mention the Warriors with Steve Kerr, it is no coincidence that all those options all have really good head coaches.
All right, you want to read between the tea leaves?
Sure. But we already have, right?
Here's our latest reading between the tea leaves. Kevin Durant has recently sold his Malibu Beach house.
Yeah.
He's recently sold his Malibu Beach house on the market for $13.5 million, according to Realtor.com. LA Times reporting. The house sold for just $12.15 million. Mm. So KD taking a...
So that means the Clippers are off the table now?
And the Lakers, right? Well, yeah. The Lakers are off the table
ever since they got LeBron.
Exactly. The Lakers have been off the table for a year. I don't know why I keep doing that. I think it's the Kawhi KD report of them, you know, talking about maybe joining each other. And then the Lakers, you know, believing that they're in on everybody. But no, the teams that Durant's scheduled to meet with and consider are the Clippers, the Warriors, the Nets, and the Knicks. Throw the Lakers off to the side. They've acquired Anthony Davis, and they're still trying to get Kawhi Leonard and Kyrie Irving and anybody of consequence to come and join LeBron and AD.
Right. One thing I have to clarify on, like, home transactions, whether it's buying or selling, a lot of the times it has nothing to do with free agency because these guys live in these cities in the off season. And I think that Kevin has sold other property in LA before and then wound up buying other property afterwards. That's number one. Number two,
he might not just like the neighborhood,
right? Exactly.
Or you might think the house is too big or too small.
He's being a savvy business guy and wants to flip and get a profit, right?
Absolutely.
Number three, I know that there was a lot to be made about he wound up opening or buying some property in New York for his media company. And hey, does that mean with the Knicks? From my understanding, that was set into motion well before the Knicks were even an option. So I think it had to do with just buying the real estate and knowing the New York media market the way it is. So regardless of whether he's with the Knicks or a different team, that is a good building to have production in. So a lot of these property acquisitions really mean nothing. I think what matters more is, you know, the conversations he's having with players, the meetings, and what the moves that these teams are making to create an environment, whether it's clearing up cap space, getting certain players that would make those players want to be there.
All right, so you shoot it down again. Again, I just want to let the people read between the tea leaves.
It's like that Nintendo game, Duck Hunt, right?
Yeah, you're just firing away. But a great answer. Let's keep it moving on the phone lines. It's JD and Medina, Warriors This Week, our special free agency edition. Mark Spears is going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. ESPN's The Undefeated. We'll get Mark's thoughts on everything that's about to unfold and things that have already reportedly unfolded. We'll have a little bit of an extended conversation. We're going to keep him for a good part of that segment here coming up just about 10:45. So keep it locked here on 95.7 The Game. Freed the People in Oakland is up next here.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Saturday to you. Thanks for taking my call. I got a few things on my mind. I'll keep it short and simple as best as I can. I think that it's really funny that these narratives of challenges that KD has to create for himself, and that because he's with the Warriors, he can't be considered the best player because of his team. But none of this was the rhetoric when LeBron was in Miami and they were clear-cut the best team in the NBA. They were clearly a super team. They went to four straight finals, 1-2, and everybody loved LeBron, and he was the MVP of the league, and he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Kevin Durant makes a similar move, but is not considered for MVP. Kevin Durant had an unbelievable season this year and last year, and still was not in consideration. And so I feel like the hype of him needing to move to a different place to challenge himself, I feel like the Warriors maximized his greatest potential and put him in a position to show off his myriad of skills that make him look like the best player in the NBA right now, at least to me. You have ball movement. You have a great coach who understands winning culture, understands the dynamics of the NBA. I mean, I'm not saying that other guys aren't good coaches around the league, and I'm not saying other pairings can't be quality teams, but I don't think that KD will ever play for a team as good as this if he chooses to leave. That's not to say he won't have success, but it'll look very different, and I'm sure it'll be much harder. Now, I'm going to argue, I know players want to have pressure and do things to be considered great, but if what he's shown us the last few years doesn't let you know that he's an all-time great, possibly a top five to top 10 player, I don't know what NBA other guys are watching, but to me, he looks every bit as great as any player I've ever seen. I'm 37, so I've seen quality NBA for the last 20 years, roughly. I think KD should stay in Oakland, personally, or San Francisco, since we're moving. But wherever he goes, I wish KD the best of luck. I will not be a hater. I won't be a FKD because he left the Warriors guy. I want to see KD be his total greatness. But what I really care the most about is how the Warriors choose their approach next season. I heard you guys say something about should the Warriors tank. Part of me says yes. If Boogie doesn't resign, Klay resigns, KD leaves, next year is going to kind of be a lost season. I think you throw the cards in You let Steph play 30 games. You come up with an incident where, oh, he pulled a John Wall and he slipped in his house and his foot is hurt or whatever you want to come up with. And then we shoot for 2021. We get our cap space in line. I don't know how much room we'll have to wiggle with. We re-sign Draymond and we figure out how we get this team going better going forward. I think with a lottery draft pick, potentially, it would go further and be a better position to be in than to try and play it out and be like the eighth or the seventh seed and get destroyed in the first round of the playoffs. I don't know what you guys think.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. We'll touch on that here in the remaining time we have in this segment. First thing, just briefly, I don't think everybody loved LeBron when LeBron went from Cleveland to Miami
and
won a couple of championships.
And I think to clarify, I mean, hey, you made a lot of good points on that call, but to clarify with LeBron leaving Miami to Cleveland, one of the things was LeBron had reservations about Miami ownership because they weren't willing to spend the same amount of money they were willing to do earlier with absorbing luxury taxes, number one. But number two, LeBron had even said in that letter that Lee Jenkins had in Sports Illustrated that he felt like he needed a new challenge. So it's totally part of that narrative. Now, the different thing with LeBron is he was with Cleveland. He's coming home. He's trying to make good on the ill will that happened when he left originally. But the whole notion of LeBron needing a whole new challenge was one of the primary factors why he went to Cleveland. He'd be the first to admit that.
We'll get into next season coming up and what the Warriors do and how some of the other decisions around the league and with the Warriors' own free agents will impact that. But the one thing I will say definitively, the Warriors are not going into next season with an eye toward not trying to win as many games as they possibly can. Now, that number may not be as high as it's been the last few years. It may not be as high ultimately, and injuries will play a factor in this as well, as Warriors fans want to see. But it would take a couple of legitimate injuries before the Warriors start to look down the road of, well, this is a completely lost season. It's time to pack it in and worry about a draft pick. They'd have to be February, March, and out of the race with players like Stephen Curry and Draymond Green primarily that would have to be unavailable.
Right. I think that their mindset, and it isn't even just the competitor in them, I think it's just the realistic nature of it too, is that they're going to be competing to be a second-round playoff team. Obviously, you still have Steph Curry, Draymond Green. Steve Kerr is not going to suddenly become Tom Thibodeau and play them 40 minutes a night. He's still going to pace them, but they're not going to do load management with them unless they start getting hurt. So they're not going into the season of, hey, let's shut these guys down and punt on next season. It's going to be about having that tandem set the tone, Andre to another extent while conserving him, and then seeing to what degree can they accelerate the development of their young guys and hoping that they have some decent free agency acquisitions. The hope when we're looking at this mid-level exception at $5.3 million is that the signing is not just for this year. It's for the following year, so it takes them through next season. So in the event that they have a healthy Klay Thompson, even maybe if Kevin Durant's back, that they are then loaded to make another championship run.
Yeah, and I think the Warriors view next year as at least going in, win as much as you can, get Klay Thompson back, be even a bottom half of the eight in terms of playoff teams, fight like heck to get in, and then if Klay Thompson is healthy, you've got Curry and Draymond and Klay and maybe a couple other veterans that you sign, and you feel you're as capable with that three, even without Durant, winning a couple of rounds, and maybe you don't make it all the way to the finals, but maybe you get to a conference finals. Maybe you get to a second round. I think all that's on the table. 888-957-9570. Steve and Dave, we're going to get to you, and then we're going to be joined for a little more of an extended conversation with Mark Spears of ESPN and ESPN's The Undefeated. We'll do that coming up here on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Mark Spears is going to join us coming up in just a moment, but let's get to a couple of phone calls here rapid fire before Mark joins us. Steve in Concord. Steve, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. I have a question about next year's Warrior philosophy approach. What do you guys think of Draymond being more utilized like the Joker is in Denver, where the offense flows through him more as an approach to next year?
I think it's an interesting question. And, you know, one of the things, you know, Steve Kerr, I believe it was with Tim Kawakami, one of the things among many things he said was just the fact that they're going to have to examine different styles of play, you know, based on the personnel that they actually have available to them. I don't know about that specifically. I mean, a lot of it runs through Draymond anyway,
yeah.
Draymond and Steph. And I think, you know, that tandem would certainly be the focal point of any offense the Warriors run going into next year, because they won't have Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant. If you bring DeMarcus Cousins back, you could make him more of a secondary option. But you lack shooting. What do you think about more of a focus on Draymond?
Yeah, I think that it's indisputable that's what's going to happen because of their skill sets and their just previous chemistry. I think you're going to see, you know, those games against the Portland Trail Blazers where Steph and Draymond were playing that 1-2 game. I think that that's what's going to be a common theme, especially to open the season. Now, the challenges that are going to emerge with that is they don't have Klay Thompson to be that shooter to help space the floor and be a threat. And secondly, you worry about the workload. Again, they're not going to load management, but they're not going to play him 40 minutes a night. So it's going to really be incumbent on how much of a supporting cast does Steph and Draymond have of having other playmakers, having other shooters, and then from the other end, to help Draymond defensively, are there going to be those other perimeter wing guys that can really help Draymond so it's not just him trying to man all five positions?
Dave in San Jose, before we get to Spears. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on Durant in New York with that media, and if you think he is in denial enough to think he could actually handle that. I mean, you look at his progression, Oklahoma City, prickly here and there, but not bad, increased dramatically here with the media, especially this year, and then going to New York. Oh, my gosh, look what happened with the Mets this week, and no one there even cares about them. And not just the constant microphones in his face, but one thing the media is good about here is they don't really track people's personal lives that much. The only guy, I think, of all the superstars that I have played here where his personal life was of interest was Jose Canseco. You know, wait till 3 a.m. He's got people snapping photos of where he is or who he's with. And do you think he thinks about that? Because if he didn't like it here this year, my gosh, I can't imagine him in New York.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, I get it. I think, honestly, though, the media stuff, all that's a caricature. And I say that because I know a lot of the New York media well, and for the most part, most of them are the same as any other media market. They ask the questions. They're fair. There are some guys who are a little bit tabloidy, so that's a little bit different. But I think out of defense of the Bay Area, I don't think that they're unfair. I don't think that they're soft. I don't think that they're, you know, trying to instigate. I think that they all do a reputable job among all the people out here. So I think really what's going to come down to is, can Kevin handle the volatile nature of how the Knicks are run as an organization with ownership and just the dysfunction and the lack of culture that other teams like the Warriors really have?
Really, it's just the national guys, like senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, that cause all the trouble. Mark Spears. Those guys are the ones causing all the trouble with all the questions and all the rumors.
Always
and all the
stirring
reports.
The pot, Mark.
Right, Spears?
No, I'm just trying to do my job, man. That's all.
Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it as always. What do you make of Durant and Kawhi and the report that maybe they're talking about playing together now?
Yeah, these rumors since October, it's just old and tiresome. And I know people love it and they eat it up. And this is like the sports version of those rags you get in the grocery store, you know, the rumor rags and stuff like that, and people love it. And so, you know, Kevin was supposed to re-sign with the Warriors. He was supposed to go to the Knicks. He was supposed to go to the Nets. Like, every week it's something different. And so when my friends asked about it, I'm like, just wait and find out. It's just because every day it's a different rumor. Every day it's a different twist. And until Durant meets with everybody, he probably doesn't know what he wants to do. So it's interesting, but at this point, man, when it comes to everything surrounding him, I have no clue what to believe, and I'm just patiently waiting for him to decide.
Mark Medina here. How's things?
What's up, bro?
Oh, not much. You know a lot of things, but I know there's one specific topic you have some pretty good insight, and it's timely with this morning. It was out that, you know, the Warriors and Sean Livingston are pushing back the guaranteed date on his contract to July 10th and deciding where to go from there. And, you know, you had talked to Sean after the NBA Finals loss in Game 6 of what might be next. What's your sense of kind of his latest line of thinking for his future?
I think Sean probably wants to play at a 70-30 rate. You know, he's a veteran. He's been doing it a long time. He still loves it. But I think he feels he's at a point now where the circumstances have to be right. You know, his family is based on the West Coast. I don't think he, you know, wants to go anywhere outside the West Coast. I expect him to, you know, be open-minded to playing if it's in, I don't even know if I want to say Pacific time zone. I just want to probably say California.
Mm.
And so he also represents a possible trade chip for the Warriors as well. When you consider that it's $7 million that's involved with, if you know, the Warriors need to make a trade and they could use him, you know, it's a win-win for both sides because Sean gets a seven. You know, the Warriors get somebody else or perhaps he comes back. But he's a guy that regardless when his days are over, whether it's this summer or in the coming years, I expect him to be in a front office somewhere.
To that point you made, Mark, about a possible trade chip, what do you think his value could be in return, just knowing, you know, the veteran presence he has in the locker room, but also accounting for just where he's at in his NBA career and how he's holding up health-wise?
Yeah, I mean, for him, you know, we forget about how debilitating his injuries are and the load management that he needs on a game-to-game basis. So, to me, the right place for him is like 18 to 25 minutes per game. Like, if I'm the Lakers, he's somebody I'm certainly looking at, you know, depending on how the Clippers roster works out. Or to me, like a team like Sacramento could certainly use him. They need veterans bad. You know, I expect Harrison to re-sign there. But if you could add a guy like Livingston to that locker room, I mean, he's amazing. So I think there'll be certainly some interest in Warriors camp, outside the Warriors camp, because not only is he, you know, a solid veteran, he's an extremely great professional, a great person. He's a guy, like, if I'm Sacramento, I'm trying to get him. I'm trying to figure it out to get him because to put him, his locker next to De'Aaron Fox's locker could play dividends that last for Fox's entire career. I do think he's got the potential to be a star.
No, I think that's a great point, Mark. And Mark Spears, ESPN's The Undefeated, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors this week, our free agency edition of the program. And yeah, it's twofold because, I mean, the Warriors could also maybe acquire a player that maybe another team, you know, wants out on. Maybe even a guy that has a couple of years left on his deal that could, you know, for salary purposes, you'd want Sean for the 1 year. And the leadership, and maybe the Warriors end up taking somebody back that could help them and just play more minutes throughout the course of this season and be somebody that could be in the mix if they, you know, are back in a run toward winning championships maybe in 2 years from now.
Yeah, no, I think that the Warriors are going to have to be as creative as they've ever been. Obviously, we'll wait and see what happens with Durant. You got other interesting free agents as well. Like, I think it's imperative to bring Looney back. Cook is somebody I expect to be back. We'll see what happens with Bell. But he showed his value in the playoffs. But there's so many moving pieces with Clay's injury, and he'll be back. that they're going to have to be creative and find some veterans to either fill the void or replace the void of a hurt Durant, or and fill the void of Clay until he, you know, comes back. And it begs the question, in Dynasty, sometimes you have to reload. And I know Warriors fans probably don't want to hear tanking or anything like that. I'm sure the Warriors don't want to hear that the first year in the chase. But next year's draft is going to be really, really good. Keep an eye on this kid named James Wiseman from Memphis. He is say for the Warriors, he would be what Tim Duncan was to the Spurs when they drafted him after David Robinson got hurt. He has that kind of impact. So sometimes dynasties can take a year off but could acquire a player that could reshuffle their deck and keep them alive a lot longer, like the Spurs did with, you know, getting Duncan and then getting Ginobili and then getting Parker.
Mark, you had a chance to speak with DeMarcus Cousins as well, and I want to ask you about DeMarcus in this sense. Do you have a feel for what the number would have to be for DeMarcus to consider the Warriors? And what I mean by that is what the number would be from another team. How low would the number have to be where DeMarcus would consider it almost, well, you know what, that's not enough to not explore staying with the Warriors for one more year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be higher than the $6 million that the Warriors can offer. I know the Knicks are interested. I've heard that the Clippers might have some interest. With him, it's very fluid. It's a domino effect. Wait and see where the A guys go, then the B-plus guys go. He's in that B range. And if he's healthy, he certainly could be a diamond in the rough pickup for a team. There's a lot of teams with money, and there's going to be several teams that are going to be disappointed with a big bag. And when that happens, that's when I think DeMarcus Cousins should strike. Patience is definitely very important. I think he's proven that, you know, at 70, 80% with his numbers, they're still pretty impressive. And if he's completely healthy, which he has 3 months to get healthy and be ready for camp and be in better shape, he could be back or close to back being back to his all-star form. So he certainly could be an interesting addition for a team. But for him, as when I talk to him, it's anybody's guess where he could go. It's all going to be dependent on where the top dominoes fall and then look towards him, and then somebody's going to be scrambling to get him. So I said, I think ultimately, because what the Warriors can offer him is, by basketball standards, not that high, I could see him getting somewhere and, you know, crossing $10 million somewhere with the right team.
Mark, we understand you got to run. Appreciate the time. Thanks a lot, as always.
Yeah, I'm trying to take a mini vacation, man, you know, for tomorrow's drama. So
I love it.
But, you know, I love you guys, so I had to jump on. And then you got Medina on, so, you know, got to take my guest appearances.
I love it. Appreciate it, as always, man. Enjoy the rest of the day.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Mark Spears.
Enjoy a well-deserved vacation for him.
ESPN's The Undefeated, and Mark appears via the Dialpad guest line. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video messages, and meetings across your existing devices. You're also listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco Radio.com sports station. We are halfway through, just over halfway through, and now inside of 28 hours until free agency begins tomorrow at 3 p.m. It's John Dickinson and Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. As we keep it moving here, Tim Bontemps will join us coming up at 11:30. Tim Roy's going to join us coming up at 12:30 as well. What do you think the number is, Mark, for DeMarcus Cousins? Like, if he gets a one-year $10 million offer, is that enough? Or does he say at that point, nah, I'll come back to the Warriors for, what is it, 6'3", and try and run it back one more year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it also has to do with which team is offering the $10 million. But I think, broadly speaking, if he's getting something in the $10 to $15 million range, he'll take that. Because remember, at the end of the day, when he took that $5.3 million mid-level exception taxpayer for the Warriors, that was because there was a depressed market for him where pre-Achilles, he thought he was going to be making 20, if not more, million. So he's trying to kind of recoup his losses, so to speak. And, you know, it is monopoly money at the end of the day, but I think any business person would try to maximize those earnings. So that being said, if it's a bad team or a bad fit and if it's almost equal, I think that he would give the nod to the Warriors just because of obviously the culture that they have and also how they handled his injury and his integration. Like, they were very patient with his rehab. He's often credited the training staff with how they handled him with care. And he really felt like it was a very positive working environment, which is frankly something he hasn't had at all earlier in his NBA career.
I think it's interesting.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.